This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour
on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Good morning, I'm Rochelle Hunt and I'm in Melbourne.
I'm Eden Henninen. I'm in Bendigo in central Victoria.
Eden, this is your last show for some time here on The Conversation Hour as you head off on parental leave, on maternity leave. How are you feeling? You must have a thousand questions swirling around in your mind at the moment.
You know what? I'm feeling quite calm, but yes, the more information I read and the more advice I get from lots of different people, it is a bit confusing and you're trying to sort through what you think is right for you or wrong for you, but yes, a lot going on. It's a bit surreal.
It can be quite overwhelming. What about the idea of parental leave or maternity leave? It sort of feels like the term maternity leave isn't used anymore and that we go with, I guess, a more PC term of parental leave. Have you discussed or thought about how long you'll take and whether or not you'll take the majority of parental leave?
You know what, it might sound a bit old school, Rochelle, but that's one thing that I didn't even question with my partner and I. We just kind of assumed that I would take the leave and I'm taking a year, which for some people sounds like a long time, for others not long enough. But yeah, it was just something that we both kind of assumed together. What about when you
I was the same. It was just presumed that I would take, and it's not until hindsight that I look back and went, wow, I kind of consider myself a feminist and fairly progressive, and yet for whatever reason, it never entered my mind to ask the question, well, should it be me that takes the majority of leave? Maybe I should just take 4 weeks, 6 weeks and then go back to work and my partner then does a big chunk at stay at home. It was just something that was presumed. And a lot of what we're going to be looking at today is around those social norms and how far have we actually come. There were some changes proposed in the budget that, if they go ahead, will be set to, I think, start in March of next year, which will see an increase of parental leave go from 18 weeks to 20 weeks. Now, that was done, Eden, hoping that the partner or the dads would take more of the leave. But as we'll hear later today, there are some people that say, well, maybe not. Maybe it will just end up that women will take that extra 2 weeks. And is that necessarily a step forward or a step backwards when it comes to those social norms?
Yeah, well, when I first read this, I thought, oh, this is fantastic. It gives people more opportunity, the dad to have more time. I didn't see it as anything but positive. But looking into this discussion today, you do realise those social norms and expectations around what leave men and women should take, there's more to it, isn't there?
There absolutely is. And is this a conversation maybe that you've had in your household? How you decided who would take the parental leave in your home? And are the new proposed changes a good idea, do you think, raising it from 18 to 20 weeks, adding a fortnight into that entitlement? Will that help you in your household? Or could there be a better incentive for fathers or partners to take more parental leave?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
This is The Conversation Hour.
With Rochelle Hunt in Melbourne and Eden Henninen with you in Bendigo. And Eden, as we said just prior to that press conference, today is your last show for some time as you head off on parental leave, on maternity leave. So it's a really good time, I guess, for us to look into the changes that were proposed in the budget to increase parental leave from 18 weeks to 20 weeks, because there are some conflicting opinions around whether or not that is a step forward for women or whether or not it will just cement many women into that caring role and all of the complications around that. So parental leave, initially you thought the addition of 2 weeks was a good thing.
Yeah, well, when I first heard it, I said, oh, this is giving people options, an extra 2 weeks for a mother if she chooses to stay home or split it with the dad. I didn't see it but anything but positive, but as we'll find out today, there are some kind of social norms and stigmas that are still attached with mothers staying at home and whether that stops her getting back to work quicker if she wants to, or if the father doesn't take enough time, who's the breadwinner in the family. There's a lot to dig into, I think, Rochelle.
Whether or not you even have that conversation, as we discussed earlier, for many of us, even for women that feel like we're slightly progressive, we just presume it will be us that will take the majority of leave. So how did you decide in your household who took the parental leave in your home? Did you discuss it? And are the new changes a good idea, or could there be a better incentive for fathers or for partners to take longer leave? Angela Jackson is from Impact Economics. She's the lead economist there. Angela, initially, as Eden said, she thought this was a great idea. Why are some people conflicted about whether or not this is a step backwards for women?
Well, the real issue here is the loss of the use it or lose it provision for dads. So already in Australia, coming into this budget, dads were guaranteed 2 weeks leave at the minimum wage, which for most dads at medium earnings is only around 4 days actually of leave. And it's some of the lowest paid father's leave in the world, in the OECD. So already Australia's system wasn't great in terms of encouraging dads to take that leave. And what we saw in the budget was, yep, they rolled that 2 weeks into the mum's 18 weeks to allow 20 weeks to be shared across mums and dads, which can be seen as the positive. But we know from international evidence that that use it or lose it component is actually really, really important in terms of encouraging dads to take that leave. And that's important for a couple of reasons. First of all, you know, we know at those early stages when families are forming and, you know, Eden is about to go through this experience where things are going to change significantly and roles within the household are going to change significantly. And if you have that equity at the start, it tends to flow through in terms of the family going forward and means that you have more equal work and care responsibilities between men and women. Now, that has benefits for women's participation and their productivity long term, which is important. It also really benefits kids. We know that more involved fathers are one of the best predictors for child outcomes. So we really want to encourage more Australian men to be taking paid parental leave, which was why these changes in the budget, which took away that leave rather than enhancing it, as people had called for, was really disappointing.
And Angela, I must admit, when I discussed this with my partner, or we didn't really even discuss it, I was just going to take as much leave as possible. He said he would take 3 weeks. And I must admit, with family, my own family, in-laws, Adam was going to take 3 weeks, and they're like, "Oh, you don't need that long. The mother, you know, you're
she
fine.
Can do
you're,
it. Yeah,
you'll be right on your own." So, I mean, there's this social norm within families and a generational thing. But we're reading overseas that was it in Quebec in Canada where the dad it rose to 80% of dads looking after the child because
yeah,
they introduced
right.
a 5 week specifically for them. It wasn't an optional thing, was it?
No, that's exactly right. So in Quebec, what we've seen is, and you know, it's really hard in economics sometimes to get this sort of evidence where you have what we say causal evidence. But what we saw in Quebec, which is, you know, part of Canada, was they moved to this 5 weeks use it or lose it. And they saw this huge increase in dads taking leave, you know, from around 28% to 80%, which was fantastic. Whereas in the rest of Canada, they haven't seen that increase. So we can see that there's been, you know, a real impact. And then we can see long term what that impact is, and we can see women working more and earning more as a result of that. Now, why is this important? It's important because Australian women are still not equal with men. So we've had a lot of progress, and obviously we're amongst the most educated women in the world. But when it comes to economic participation, we actually dropped to 70th in the world, and we're going backwards relative to the rest of the world. And a lot of that is to do with these family policies, which really lock women into these unpaid caring roles. Rather than giving and supporting families in what is, you know, these are big changes for a society to make, but they are beneficial, both from an economic perspective and also we know for kids. And I think that's really important. This isn't about social engineering or things that are going to, you know, make families worse off. We know that in families where mums and dads are caring more equally and dads are more involved, it's actually really beneficial for children as well.
I wonder how much of this, though, is still wrapped around the fact that social stereotypes and social norms just still haven't changed and haven't progressed as much as we would like. There's a text here saying any stigma around women staying at home to care for her child is not coming from men, it's coming from other women who perhaps don't like the feeling it raises in them when they see somebody else prioritising children over their career. But then that could be vice versa as well. Eden and I have discussed this off air. You're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, if you take too much leave, then you're, you know, you're potentially ruining your career. If you go back to work too soon, then, you know, what sort of feminist are you and how are you showing your child that a woman can work and can raise a child as well? How much of this, Angela, is kind of just wrapped around all of these social politics?
Yeah, so the two are combined, and I think the stigma, particularly around dads taking leave, where perhaps they feel that the penalty at work in particular, it means, you know, I don't really care about my work if I take this paid parental leave, so I'm not going to take it, is a really important factor, which is why we really want to normalise it. And then for mums, yeah, it's a huge, you know, I mean, I've gone through it myself, it's a huge anxiety. It's like, obviously you want to prioritise your children and their wellbeing and their development, but often it's women who are carrying all that burden, rather than that being shared across men and women, which would make it a lot easier, you know. And I certainly found when I was thinking about, you know, how much do I work and how much do I care, you know, a lot of that was around, there were benchmarks where I didn't want my kids to be, you know, in formal childcare more than a certain number of days a week. But unless I could negotiate with my partner to also reduce his paid work, it meant that I had to reduce my paid work by more. And so it's really around understanding, well, how do those negotiations happen within households? And at the moment, what we see is it's really women who are put in the back seat in some ways in those negotiations. And that's to do with stigma, but it's also a lot of the policy settings really do lock women into those unpaid caring roles. And what we want to see is those policies change so that then also that stigma and those societal norms also change.
Just finally, Angela, do you think it's also around this idea that the father has traditionally been the breadwinner of the family and earned the most, and that the woman's career is kind of second because of that pay gap?
Yeah, so look, every family is different. We now have a situation in Australia, though, where women are more educated than men in terms of university qualifications. And so from an economic perspective, from that sort of macroeconomic perspective, what we're losing is, you know, our most productive educated workers through this arrangement. And yes, you can argue that, you know, women are, in particular, there are structural issues where female-dominated industries tend to have lower pay and be more insecure work. And there are other reforms that are required and things that need addressing. But I think really and realistically, if you look at a lot of your friends and a lot of contemporaries, that's not actually the biggest factor at play here. Like, I certainly went into having kids earning significantly more than my partner. And we sacrificed a lot as a family as a result. But there were those societal norms whereby, you know, even we, and again, you say, you know, somebody who's thinking a lot about these issues, you know, fall into those.
It shows you just how complicated it is, both from a financial perspective, from stereotypes, all of those things wrapped in. Angela, thanks for your insights. And Angela Jackson there, she's an Impact Economics Lead Economist. You're with Rochelle Hunt in Melbourne. Eden Henninen is with you as well, coming to you from our Bendigo studios, looking at how you decided within your home who would take parental leave. Now, there's been lots of discussions about, you know, mums and dads here, but of course there's dads and dads and mums, and there are people that choose to have children on their own, or people that have children on their own and maybe it's not through their own choice. So there are so many different ways that family units and home units can be made up here. And I wonder too, Eden, how much of this is actually a little bit of privilege, you know, if you can decide how long you take off or who's going to take that leave. Does that mean then that you're in a really good position where you can have that conversation? Because there would be a lot of households where that conversation just isn't even possible.
Definitely. And you're right. I think it is a matter of privilege. There'd be so many people out there that aren't given many options when it comes to having kids. On a text line, though, there was, stop seeing parenting as unpaid caring. If you do the job of parenting properly, you'll be paid back 100-fold from those children you've raised in future. Even if they just keep out of nursing home for 4 or 5 years, they've paid for themselves. That's an interesting take there. Another one says, my partner took 5 weeks off when he had our third child, so this time we had it together. Great opportunity to spend this time adjusting together, as Angela did touch on there, Rochelle.
Text as well saying, you know, maybe we should reduce the stigma around taking time out of the workforce to raise a family. I'm lucky as a mother I was able to do that and able to take a decade out of the workforce to raise my children. That's a huge fear, I think, for a lot of women in particular, how long you take off work, where you're at in your career. Of course, it depends on what sort of work you do, how much you love your job, you know, whether or not you feel like you're only at the beginnings of your career, if you're halfway through. But if you're, let's say, on average mid-30s, you're probably around midway through your career. And I don't know about you, Eden, but if I'm brutally honest, you take a year out of your work, I was scared that I wouldn't come back to my role, that maybe the person that filled in for me was going to be better than me, that they would change it, or that you couldn't do it part-time. All of those discussions around when you go back to work, do you go back in where you left? And I think that would be a big deciding factor for a lot of people as well.
You're talking my language, Rochelle. That's exactly what happened to me when I found out. It was a surprise that I found out I was pregnant. And I was working in the Melbourne office, kind of taking a step up and filling in the newsroom, doing live crosses and things, and find out that I was pregnant. And it was a massive shock to the system, thinking, oh, God, what's going to happen with my career? But I think, fortunately, we're at the ABC where we have a lot of bosses that are extremely supportive of us having kids. But it is something that you do question about with...
Yeah.
With your coworkers, your future career, what's going to happen? I'm 30 and I'm pregnant. What does that mean for my career later on? But I think fortunately I'm in a good position to be pregnant rather than at a lot of other companies where I know friends aren't as well supported.
Let's have a chat to Melissa. She's called through on 1300 222 774. Melissa, welcome. Oh, sorry, Melissa. Let's try that again.
Hello.
Hi, Melissa. What did you want to say?
I had 12 months maternity leave from my work when we had our first baby. And I went back to work after 12 months. And my husband, who was a teacher at the time, took 12 months maternity leave. So he was home with her.
And was that a good thing?
Yeah, no, it was a good thing. And so he was home for 12 months and he was a teacher at the time but changed careers during that 12 months. And then I had another baby and then he continued to stay at work.
Did you have a conversation, Melissa? You know, I mean, Eden and I have both spoken about how even for the two of us, we just presumed we would take the majority of leave. Like, was it discussed in your household?
Yeah, it was discussed that I'd take the 12-month paternity leave, and I remember at the time I wanted to go back to work part-time, and my work, I think, told me at the time it was full-time or not at all. So I went back to work full-time, and then we made the decision to swap and he was at home.
And how did that help with the family dynamic? We just heard from Angela before saying that it's important for that bonding time with the mother and father. Was it a really special time for you?
Yeah, no, it was. It was a good time. They have a good relationship. But it's still like when everything went wrong, she still wanted me.
Yeah.
And he was the one that was home. So, so that still happened. But he had to deal with it all.
Good on you, Melissa. Lovely to hear from you as well. Quite a few texts coming in and making the connection here between breastfeeding and taking time off. Now, let's not go down the line of, you know, what is better, what is best. For many women, breastfeeding is just not an option. But do you think, Eden, that some of the pressure put on to women to breastfeed, and yes, you can pump and you can express and everything at work, but unless you've tried that, trust me, it's not easy and it's not fun. There is very rarely a room where you can do it, so you're having to pump in a toilet. You know, nobody wants to do that. So do you think the pressure to breastfeed for long periods of time is putting added pressure on women to not go back to work?
Yeah, you're right. And you're scaring me with the thought of breastfeeding in the toilet. I've got a lot to look forward to, don't I? Yeah, but definitely. And maybe, like you said, if it's not easy for one parent to breastfeed or pump, one of my friends can't breastfeed because of an operation she had years ago. So that would severely limit their choices in what they can do with paid parental leave. So, yeah, it's a good point. And there's quite a few texts coming through on that issue.
Tegan's called in. Hi, Tegan.
Hello.
Hi, what do you want to say?
Look, I just wanted to say, I think as well, it's really important the supports that are given to women in returning back to work. So at the moment, I've just had my third baby, or she's 8 months old now, and I'm working from home purely, which I've sort of been able to do after COVID, to continue doing that after coming back from leave. I'm still breastfeeding the 8 month old. I've moved out of Melbourne to rural Victoria and I just pop down and breastfeed her at lunchtime and continue on with work. And I think that's really helped in actually getting me back on track, getting back into work after taking the leave.
And did you said it was quite challenging, Tegan, about returning to work. What about in the workplace itself? Are things going back to normal, or, you know, is it challenging in that aspect as well?
Look, it is challenging because other people are returning back to the office after COVID, and I've made that decision to continue working from home. But look, I think for me, it really comes down to being empowered to make choices. And I think, you know, you touched on that before, about having that privilege. And I think that, like, the financial support and government support and also workplace support has meant that for me, I can continue to work whilst breastfeeding after coming back from leave, even though, you know, that brings its own challenges when others are returning back to work after COVID.
And it really shows, I guess, the benefits too of living in regional and rural Victoria when you are 5 minutes from home, you know, just being able to pop home and to be able to do that. That's a huge change for you, Tegan. So that relocation must be something that you're happy about.
Yeah, and look, I have family here as well, which makes a really big difference too. So I think, you know, it sort of has worked out well for me, kind of the COVID situation. And at this time in my life, I've got, three kids, and everything sort of has worked out in that way. But it's also about being able to have that flexibility. But I think it's really important for men as well, just sort of getting back to, you know, what you were saying about the women having it all, because my husband, he took time off work with our first baby because I was actually studying. So he took 3 months paid leave while I was studying. And I think it needs to be, it's important that men also have that flexibility. We sort of all seem to think that, the standard job is 5 days a week full time. Mm. And it's the flexibility is sort of only afforded in certain situations and, you know, with women more commonly. But it could be, definitely as applicable for men.
Yeah. Tegan, thank you. This text just dropped down from 4 day working week as my partner got a promotion and wants to focus more on her future. I'm more than happy to stay at home and do the extra day with our child, even though it's unpaid leave. My father worked 70 hours a week. I barely know the guy. Priorities are shifting and more dads I know are putting families first. That's from Chop in Reza. But it was interesting too when Tegan, Eden just said, you know, I have family here as well. And for some people, that's a huge luxury as well. And I fall into that camp. I had no one to help me. I had no family support as well. And when my child went into daycare, I was like, oh, my God, someone else can help. Someone else can look after my child. This is incredible. And I actually cried with relief because it was amazing to have someone else help. If you've got a parent or a grandparent or a sibling or something, someone around to help you, you don't realise how daunting and how tiring it can be to have no one there to support you. So childcare can be a support network for people as well.
Definitely. I guess I'm in a lucky position where I do have a lot of support around me. Interesting text here, Rochelle. It says, this discussion is frustrating that so far it's failed to acknowledge biology regarding parenthood. Mothers who give birth need time to recover physically, and breastfeeding is a time an energy-consuming activity. They should get more leave. Father's leave is crucial, but something different entirely.
Ali Wastey is the Chief Executive of the Bass Coast Council. And Ali, we've spoken to you in the past on this program about some of the various initiatives that you've taken and progressive initiatives that you've taken. You were the first, I think, Victorian council. It was a landmark decision that you made to change parental leave to try and close that gender gap in your workplace in the Bass Coast. What did you do?
Yeah, so we provide equal parental leave. So there's not a difference in primary or secondary carer. So if you become a parent, you're eligible for 16 weeks, which is paid. So that's been met with universal applause from all of our people who work with us. And we've got males and females who have benefited from this agreement, which came into place last year.
Ali, do you mind if I interrupt? Just to clarify, so does that mean that both parents get the same amount of time if they both choose, or one gets all as the primary carer?
No, that's right. So they get both amount of time. So, for example, we might have a male who works at Bass Coast Shire Council, but his partner works somewhere else. He is entitled to take 16 weeks parental leave, which is paid.
Wow. And when we look at, I guess, how family units or home units are made up, we have same-sex couples, we have people that will raise children on their own. How do you work around the complexities of what a family or what a home unit looks like, Ali?
Well, I suppose we first come from a place where we want to see men take on more carer responsibilities, because that's when we're going to see a better balance of gender in part-time roles. Because we do know when women take considerable time off, and that can be by choice or it can be not by choice, is that they often come back to the workplace in part-time roles and they feel like their career might have stalled. So we want to take out that financial equation. We're also really progressive here at Bass Coast. So, you know, gone are the days of working, you know, 9 to 5. Our options are working from home. We don't have prescribed days that you must come into the office. We've got flexibility of spread of hours. Of course, there's part-time arrangements, rostered days offs, and we can also offer additional purchase leave options. Job share is very common. And right down to the fact that we're flexible in terms of the public holidays that people want to take or not, so they can save particular public holidays if they wish to, if they choose to not celebrate a certain public holiday, they can use that as leave later on.
What I find interesting, and we knew that texts like this would come up as well, does the ABC ever spend any time researching and reporting on men's problems? I don't think we actually discussed this being a problem as such, as just looking at different ways that people can communicate. I'm so tired of women being seen as disadvantaged. Does the ABC represent only half of the population?
That's a societal problem. This isn't a women's problem. It's a societal problem. So if we fix this, it's going to be good for men, it's going to be good for women, it's going to be good for boys, and it's going to be good for girls.
Well, let's bring in Mick Davies into this. He's an employee with you at the Bass Coast Council. Mick, would you agree with Richard in that, you know, this is really just a women's problem that needs to be dealt with, and that men need to be considered more on this? Because there's another one saying, you know, men often want to spend time with their kids, but their workplaces have sexist attitudes and don't respect that. And for so long, do you feel like the men have been left out of this conversation?
I guess you could say a little bit. I'm just talking my own personal experience. From my personal experience, I would say yes, a little bit. And obviously now with the Bass Coast Shire, it's brought that together.
And what's your experience been like, Mick, having that time off?
Been great for myself. Been extra time with the kids, not financially not worrying because we're getting paid. Do the day-to-day chores with the kids as school runs, daycare runs, and it also allows my partner and myself to bond with our newborn longer than the 2 weeks that I would initially would have taken off in my own time.
So I remember
giving us all that bonding time together, really.
I remember when I took parental leave and someone said to me, enjoy your holiday, right? And I laughed. And there's a text here that says, congratulations, the Bass Coast is now using ratepayer money to pay for somebody else's holiday. Does it feel like a holiday to you, Mick?
It's definitely not a holiday. It's a new life, bringing a new life into the world. We're experiencing it together at home. Plus, we have other kids. Like, I'm a father of 6 kids.
That's what I was going to say. I was just reading, you've got 6 kids in total with a new 6-week-old baby. I don't think that's a holiday.
That's holiday.
Yeah. That's far from a holiday, I can tell you right now. It's very, but it takes that stress away from my wife to, you know, and then gives me those chores at home where she can breastfeed and recover from a caesarean. So it gives her that longer time, whereas after 2 weeks, initially I've gone back to work after 2 weeks and she's had to do it herself.
There's been quite a few texts from other dads saying, I've changed how I do this now and I've even taken a step back in my career or whatever it may be because I don't want to do what my dad did. Is this something very different to, say, how your household was when you were growing up, Mick?
It's sort of hard to tell. I had a good father, so he was there for all of us, so it's a bit hard to. I'm from a separated family, so I was with my father. So it's sort of.
Yeah, right.
I can't really comment on that sort of aspect because I had a good upbringing.
Well, I guess that's probably a part of the reason now why you're doing what you do as well, because you were raised by a dad.
Correct. Yeah, correct. 100%. You know, with the respect and, you know, with my partner, you got to have respect for what they're going through. So this is not a holiday. This is a time to bond and heal for my wife and, you know, for all our kids to bond together.
And Ali, I wonder if you're still there. Is this one of the first trials with a father taking leave? What else have you noticed at the Shire?
Oh, look, just listening to Mick, it makes my heart sing. So just to hear what he's had to say today. So thank you, Mick. We've got a number of initiatives to address gender equality. So with superannuation at Bass Coast, we now pay superannuation for the entire period of parental leave and also 1 year for women for maternity leave, because we know that women are more likely to retire from the workforce with a lot less superannuation, and they're the fastest growing cohort of homelessness, those women who are over the age of 55 in Australia. So whatever we can do to improve gender equality, which we've still got a long way to go in this country, we have made some really good strides, even to when, you know, thinking back to when I had my first baby 16 years ago, working in the Victorian Public Service, it was you're coming back to work at 5 days a week or otherwise you're not coming back. So when I look back, even in the 16 years or 5, 10 years, I can see enormous progress being made, but we still have to keep on shifting the needle. And we love to lead at Bass Coast, and we're loving that other public sector agencies are looking at what we're doing. That's why I, you know, get on the radio and share what we're doing, because together we can really make a difference.
Ali, as always, thanks for your time. Ali Wastey, the Chief Executive of the Bass Coast Council. And Mick Davies, as an employee of the Bass Coast, when we hear about some of the proposed changes that were put in the budget, you know, to add 2 weeks to the 18 weeks to make it in total 20 weeks, is this a good step forward? Do you think that more dads now, just anecdotally, are doing what you're doing?
I hope so. I would recommend it highly. And I really hope dads sit down and think about this, because it's good for everyone, good for the family, good for the mother of the child, and good for yourself to, like you said, like mothers take on a, you see a different side of things. So the mother, you go back to work, the mother has a lot to deal with, especially with other kids. So you sort of, your eyes open that they need a hand, and if you can be home and getting paid for it, my word. So, you know, I recommend it for every father out there to take it on board.
Mick, thanks for your time. Mick's from the Bass Coast as well. Lots and lots of texts on this. As a mum of two boys, 21 and 14, I've thought for a while my greatest achievement and the hardest I've ever worked is for and with my children. And that's not cancel out a right to work, which I also did, but it made me feel more powerful that way. That's from Danny in East Bentley. And I guess then too, I mean, this is why this is such a complicated topic, Eden, is because it falls into that. I remember having a conversation with friends when I went on leave, or when I was, or maybe when I was pregnant, and it was around the thing of, well, can you have it all? You know, can you be the perfect stay-at-home parent, and can you still keep a successful career and not go insane at the same time and manage to sleep in some way? So that whole...
Did you achieve that?
No, I went insane. I still am. But it's that thing of, do we just put too much pressure on ourselves, and are we just overanalyzing everything too much? You know, was it simpler, you know, back when our grandparents were having children, or was it simpler in a detrimental way to women? I don't know. I feel like I go around in circles in this, and these must be the things that are swirling around your head at the moment, being 33 weeks pregnant.
Definitely. And the idea of career, my partner taking time off. And then, as we said earlier, that whole idea of me taking 12 months off, I've had pressure from people saying, you know, you only need 6 months, or you'll need more time than that. There is a lot of different opinions, and I think that there's no right answer, Rochelle.
This, when I went on maternity leave, I had some extra time. My manager then said to me regarding leave, isn't it strange that we're paying you and you're not here? Yet I replied saying, yeah, but it wasn't as strange when I was here and you weren't paying me. Employers are getting a lot more from their employees than they're giving with parental leave. And I think that's the other thing as well, you know, wage growth. And this is something that we're going to look at on Friday as well, when we look at what employees are expected to do, the hours that we're working. And then I wonder how the whole mixing into the expectation of working from home, but also raising a child as well, how murky that might get.
And there's another text here. I want to defend the generation of fathers that were always at work, like mine. For many, it was to ensure the family could have a decent life. Let's be kind. done it instantly.
Oh, 100%. And this is, I couldn't agree with that more as well. I think everybody's always trying to do the right thing. If at the end, if the child feels like they never saw that parent, whether it be mother or father, I guess it's very similar to when you hear a lot of migrant stories that come and open restaurants and work so hard in 7 days and the kid is just like, oh my God, I slept at the restaurant under the table. And, you know, but it's all about making sure that you can provide for your family and that you're doing the best that you possibly can.
I must say my partner Adam, he's one of four boys and he grew up where his dad was travelling basically all over the country working ridiculous hours, but and the mum was a stay-at-home mum for those boys growing up, but he did the best he could and provided for the family. And I know he wished he could spend more time, but it just wasn't a possible situation for their family, and he's still very close with all the boys, but I can understand that.
Well, I mean, I haven't even touched on, you know, people that do fly in, fly out work and do that, for, you know, for the reasons of trying to support the family as well. This text, my husband took paid parental leave 17 years ago. His employers never thought that anyone would take it. He was greeted with my mum jibes. His career trajectory was limited as well, just as his peers said that it might at the time. Well, let's, I guess, talk about single parents here as well, because this new change, if it does go ahead from 18 to 20 weeks, that increase will also be there and be available for those that are raising a child on their own. Therese Edwards is the CEO of the National Council for Single Mothers and Their Children. Therese, do you see this as a step forward or a step backwards for women when it comes to how we will split the parental leave if the changes go ahead?
Yeah, look, good morning and thank you so much for having me. So I understand, I'm very alive to the discussions about it, perhaps cementing paid parental leave and caring for newborn children, that very, oh, that critical and really hard work, isn't it, into the onto the side of the women's ledger. But for us, where most of single parent families are headed up by women, and that number increases up to that sort of high 90% when they're young babies and toddlers, we see this as a really important step forward for recognising that really hard, tough work.
So the single mothers, they'll be receiving an extra 2 weeks' pay. So you think that extra 2 weeks really does make a difference?
Yeah, it really does, because it's not just the two, it could just be the 2 weeks, but there is flexibility to spread it out longer. You know, of course, it's the 20 weeks at that minimum wage, but it could be, you know, there is some flexibility in that. So it may be, you know, at half that minimum wage. And so I think it's just, it's such an emotional time, and there's lots of considerations. There is, you know, I heard some of your texts about people talking about what's going to happen to their career afterwards, how will they manage it. But there are some fundamental issues, such as the real bread and butter issues, like how do we just provide for the basics? Mm-hmm. How do we keep one foot in front of the other? How do I just, you know, make sure that my baby is going to be able to tuck them in at night, and when they wake up the next, well, hopefully in the morning, that we're in the same place and we're not frightened and scared, because it's an anxious time. But if you overlay that with financial hardship, it really does increase that anxiety. And what babies and mums want, or what babies and families want, is that real comfort, that real knowledge, and that soothing. So I think it's a really important step, and it's still a little bit behind. So the World Health Organization still recommend 26 weeks. So we're heading in the right direction, but we're not at that optimum level for that, you know, nurturing and love and attachment that babies just thrive with.
I think that touches on, Therese, what we were just chatting about before, Rochelle. We talk about this matter of privilege and having the choice to have mothers or fathers stay home. But like you said, Therese, when mothers just need that minimum time to spend with their children to let them grow up safely and happily, looking at this decision, that extension of a few weeks or being able to spread that out is really beneficial.
And be paid for it, yeah.
Definitely,
yeah. Look, that's so true. And I don't want to bring the conversation into a dark place, but what we do know is sometimes that real first... the first feeling or the first effect of domestic violence can actually occur in pregnancy. So it's not unusual. Sadly, it's not unusual for what started off to be a beautiful two-parent moment to go into a woman just heading into survival mode. So,
and I guess giving women that financial security of 20 weeks, so if it is a situation where they want to leave and have that financial security to leave as well. But I guess just considering single parents within this conversation as well, it's so important to be able to do that. And that was something that, you know, we're hearing some councils are doing. Therese Edwards, thank you so much for your time. The CEO of the National Council of Single Mothers and Their Children. Texty from David in Belgrave.
I love this text.
I know. I'm a dad. I took a year off work and stayed at home to look after my youngest daughter when she was a year old. As a result, I quickly gained a much better respect for those parents who take on the stay-at-home child carer role in some ways. I probably have a closer relationship with my youngest daughter than my other kids. I was adopted by the local mothers group, treated as just as one of the mums, and exposed some horrific childbirth stories for which I'm still in therapy about. Oh, yeah. But seriously, I would recommend it to any father or parent that can stay at home does so. You will reap huge rewards. That's from David in Belgrave.
Thank you, David, but don't terrify me before my birth, please.
I've already told you my horror stories. But that's the other thing as well, is the stereotypes that women can put on to men, and especially within playgrounds or playgroups or whatever it may be, like, oh, is today your day or is it your token day, and treating dads like tokenistic, you know, part-time carers that have this one day to babysit as opposed to being a parent as well. So those stereotypes fall onto both as well. Let's have a quick chat with Eliza in Berwick. Hi, Eliza.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to say?
So my husband accessed the 2 weeks of paid partner leave when I had a baby 2 weeks ago. His help was amazing. I honestly couldn't have survived in the hospital or at home without him for those first couple of weeks. Yet people continually made disparaging jokes and comments about, oh, I bet he's not helping or not changing nappies and stuff like that. And I found that really sad because he was actually doing so much and I couldn't have done it without him.
I haven't gone through it yet, Eliza, but I must admit, even from my own family, saying that when I have the time off, I really wanted my partner to have that too, or he's going to take an additional week. But they said, oh, you won't need him. Like, he won't be very helpful. You can do it on your own. It seems like, would you agree that it's still quite part of a social stigma that we experience?
Oh, 100%. And it's very much hidden behind humour and like sharp kind of funny jabs. But the underlying attitude is that, you know, women do it all and, you know, men are kind of useless in that situation, which isn't true at all, I think, for some people or a lot of people. So
would you support then what the government is introducing about extending it to 20 weeks that can be split between both parents? How would you do that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, definitely. So I think for us, based on our employment situations, it will be me taking the full time, but I think it's great to give people the option for partners to take on board some of that caring responsibility and take some time off work instead of the woman as well. So, yeah.
Good on you, Eliza. Thank you. Well, today's conversation was all started because you, Eden Hennenan, about to go off on maternity leave or parental leave, as I guess as it's more commonly known now, 33 weeks pregnant, have a wonderful time. It is a wonderful time. It is scary. Like, I'm one of those ones that doesn't sugarcoat anything, and it's crazy. And every day will bring new challenges and you'll be sleep deprived. But I think, you know, as some texts have said, just don't overthink it day by day and enjoy as much of it as possible. And the questions, you know what, they still continue as your child grows.
I do joke and say that certain stories petrify me and things, but no, I'm ready to just take it on and, like you said, take each day as it comes. So bring it on.
Well, we're looking forward to having you back here in a year's time when you return to work from parental leave.